alongside my Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa. We're heading into the shop today, getting advice from master carpenter of this old house and host of the new Yankee Workshop, Norm Abrams. We'll be talking tools, tips, and so much more. And if your shop is in need of a serious hammer, you'll want the lightweight, heavy-hitting Stiletto 12-ounce titanium hammer we're giving away today. So whether you're a serious woodworker or just getting started, this show's for you. And it's all happening next on My Fix It Up Life.
Roofers World is helping make your next roof repair or home renovation project easier, faster, and safer. Roofers World is your source for durable tear-off tools, powerful leak repair tape, secure roof staging systems, and much more. Visit www.roofersworld.com to get helpful renovation tips and roofing safety advice from our blog. Buy products online through the new e-store or locate a distributor in your area.
And welcome back to My Fix It Up Life with my husband Mark
and my wife Teresa and our woodworking show.
It is our woodworking show, and you know what we did this past, well, I guess week or so, we worked on a crown molding project.
We did that. Was it this week?
Gosh, I don't remember. We have done so much recently. It's been insane.
Yeah.
But it just went live on AOL's DIY Life.
Yes, yes.
And it's been on the front page of that for like a week, too. Have you noticed that?
You know what? I think we did it at the end of last week.
Okay.
And it's the absence of weekends in our lives.
Yeah.
That.
Everything blends together.
Friday, Monday, same thing.
Yeah, it's all the same thing. You know what one of our friends, Jessica, likes to say is we define our day by our beverage choice, so you know what time of day it is by what we're drinking.
It's kind of true.
It's so true.
Also darkness.
Darkness?
Darkness.
Oh.
Although I have a bone to pick with you a little bit, and this is a good part of our woodworking show.
What?
Crown molding isn't woodworking. That's carpentry.
It is, but, you know, that's the closest thing to woodworking we've done recently.
Well, no.
What did we do?
Technically, we're setting the stage for woodworking by at least a woodworking-ish project. By starting our pergola project.
Oh, that's right. But we haven't, we just set some posts the other day.
Total rough carpentry.
I was mixing some concrete and wheelbarrowing rocks and stuff around. I was doing all the chicken monkey work, as our friend Matthias calls it.
Chicken monkey. Yeah, a lot of chicken monkey stuff when
you're
digging holes.
Or I like to call it the chick honey work.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
Trying
to make myself feel a little better by doing all the grunt stuff.
Oh, yeah, like I'm not in a hole up to my armpits.
Well, the pergola is a pretty awesome project, and it's going to be in Professional Deck Builder magazine. I promise Andy Engel that it will be submitting it soon.
I've been promising Andy stuff for years. That won't confuse
Maybe
him.
Maybe he needs to show up on our job site wearing his
utila kilt.
If he wore
bring it on.
And we'll give him a bottle of scotch if he comes to our house to help us finish the project.
Well, the segue here is that the gates, not the fence posts, not the fence elements, but the gates themselves are a woodworking-ish kind of project.
Okay.
And I've actually seen our guest today.
Ooh.
In his new Yankee workshop.
Yeah.
And if anybody doesn't know who I'm talking about, you can call us immediately at 888-710-5557.
If you don't know
who we're talking about, Norm Abram. And I've seen him, Bill Gates.
Bill Gates!
That's it. Major buzzkill.
I know.
Definitely in the woodworking category, but, you know, blending the rough carpentry kinds of things as well.
Well, and, you know, this old house, the new season just premiered a couple of nights ago, so you check your local listings to check it out because it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it was Thursday night.
Yes, it was.
And, I've talked to a couple of people around town and said that Norm would be joining us, and several of them tried not to react because they were going to overreact.
Well, I think it's probably because they were trying to be polite and not go completely insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everyone loves Norm. I mean, like, seriously, people... I posted on my personal Facebook page that we were going to be talking to him today.
Yeah.
And random people that I never hear from were just like, really?
Yeah. Well, I did one better. I posted on my personal Facebook page that we're talking to Master Carpenter, Master Woodworker, an all-around good guy, no name.
Really?
Between noon and one, yeah. JT's
awesome.
Nodding his head like, you're a complete idiot.
Well, that's okay.
I did.
Well, so and Mark, and one of the things about the project that we're working on at home, we were trying to get the fences built before our party today. And, you know, I wanted to give a little shout out to everyone traveling to our house to celebrate Jack's birthday.
Number two.
Especially Eric and Mark, you're in the car. Hello, guys.
Right on. Hopefully you're in the listening range.
I can't wait to find out what you got me for my son's birthday.
That would be right. Jack is two, and he's doing a great job at it.
He is. He's awesome job at being two so far. And, you know, I want to say that we're giving away a really cool prize today.
And you're going to have to say what it is after our break.
And it's all coming up next on my Fix It Up Life.
Replacing a roof is a major investment. When considering your options, make sure to investigate synthetic roofing slate and shake tiles from DaVinci Roofscapes. Cost-effective and made to last, DaVinci's weather-resistant roofing tiles have a 50-year warranty. A DaVinci roof provides long-term comfort and security, along with adding great beauty to the exterior. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen DaVinci slate and shake tiles. For more information, visit DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624.
Inside my Fix It Up Life.
And as we were saying before the break, for the hard stop.
Oh, yeah, we're giving away a really cool prize today. It's the Stiletto 12-ounce titanium hammer.
Now, it's a titanium hickory, straight-handled hickory handle.
Yes.
12-ounce titanium head rip claw.
And it has the power of a 21-ounce steel hammer.
Yes, it does. Mm. I use this hammer, and it's awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah. So.
And it does look awesome. And their website's pretty cool, too. I'm kind of a fan of their website.
And it makes a big difference by the end of the day, walking around with it all day.
Well, we're inside Fix It Up Finds, and I want to know what you found this week, dear.
Well, I found something that I saw a prototype of 2 years ago.
Yes.
Who's waiting still?
I'm not going to wait
moments
any longer.
Moments of silence
I'm just
are
gonna
good
go,
radio. I saw that on TV.
I'm just going to go ahead and start talking about what I want to talk about if you're going to break that long, dear.
Bosch has reinvented the slide compound miter saw, and they've won an award for it, and I think this is going to be one of many. They're calling it, I actually don't know what they're calling it. I think it's the Glide.
It is, and the award that they won is the Popular Mechanics Breakthrough Award, and we went to the Breakthrough Awards this week, too, in New York City.
Hanging. What's up?
Yeah, we did. We actually hung out with Grundy from Cool Tools.
Yep.
He invited us to the after party, but we went home to be with our children.
Because we have children.
Oh, those silly children.
We also hung out with the Popular Mechanics Literati.
Yes.
And Numerati, I guess you would call the business side.
Yes, and the people that were awarded awards there at the Breakthrough Awards in New York City, you know,
legitimately some of the smartest people on the entire planet.
The guy that mapped the first human genome, which was his.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? I was going to go up and talk to him, and then I said, why?
I know.
Well, what do I possibly
well,
have to
see,
offer
the thing
this
is that we went to this event, and there's a few hundred people there, and probably there's like 20 awards that were given out, and 10 awards were given out for people who made a product that you can actually get in the next year.
Right, like
and
the
Glide. And then
10
of the awards were for things like research that are going on.
Like a
and
new
there
airplane.
The women from Virginia Tech who are curing cancer with some kind of way that you don't need to have oxygen in the tumors or something like that.
You're mixing some up, but yeah.
And then the airplane technology.
77.0% more fuel efficient, larger passenger jet.
Yes.
Double bubble.
Yes.
Yeah, they called the hull design.
And then the guy that's changing, like, the magnetic field, like the, you know, how magnets work.
Polarity of magnets.
Insane.
Programming magnet polarity to create hinges, gears, and something
all kinds of wild things.
Fascinating.
But it was so cool to sit there and be around all these extremely smart people, and then you walk out of the theater and you're like, okay, I'll go back to my life now. I don't feel like I accomplished anything.
I was going to map the human genome, but I became a carpenter instead. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, segueing into cool tricks with vodka.
Cool tricks with vodka.
Not only can you drink it, and we had some great posts on our Facebook page about this.
Yes, but you can use it for stain removal, to clean mold and mildew, to preserve your fresh flowers, to kill weeds, and you can use it as an adhesive remover as well. And Janelle Marie posted on Facebook, on our Facebook page this week, that she also, her boyfriend uses it to get the stink out of the kitty litter box.
Well, if I have to buy another bottle of Belvedere to clean up after Rowdy, Spawnface, and Squirt, I'm in.
I know, those are Mark's cats, and he named them too.
Please, God. Please help me.
But I do also have a fix-it-up find that our friend at Tool Snob.
Yes, our friend at Tool Snob, easily the best tool writer out there.
Yeah.
Both from a knowledge standpoint.
Well, I would say the second best, honey. I think you're the number one.
Oh, thank you. Hysterical.
Well, he has a contest going right now. It's called When Will My Fingernail Fall Off Contest. He caught his finger in what he calls a rapidly closing door.
Idiot.
And he has a picture of it on his website as well at toolsnob.com. And this brings me to my other fix-it-up find, swears.
What the hell?
Okay. So I read in Psychology Today magazine, which I am a subscriber to.
Yeah, of which to whom you are a subscribee.
So that makes this topic a little bit more intellectually whatever. But did you know that 85 is the number of taboo or swear words spoken per day by the average English speaker? Per day.
I spoke those in the commercial break.
So my question is...
Yes.
Well, how many swear words are you saying?
Some of my best friends on the job site speak only in profanity.
You know,
they don't use it's, you know, just all a conjugation of profanity.
My father actually doesn't use any swear words at all.
Hmm.
So you must be making up for him big time.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably 85 a day. That's high. That's got to be high.
Well, our special guest, Norm Abram, I can't imagine him using one swear word.
Well, I don't know. Everybody stubs their toe, gets a sliver.
Not in my view of him anyway. So.
Out it comes. Well, we also have a fix-it-up find.
What'd you find?
Which was a nice posting on Old House Web.
Oh, by you.
Yeah, by me. And I've got it written down here. And the reason I bring it up is I have no idea what I wrote.
You went on a walk with Jack, and you were noticing a row of houses in our town, and you were comparing the front porches and how they finished them and how they detailed them out,
right,
and how one executed it to an architecturally, you know.
Yeah. That.
And the other one was, well,
probably
not
the same
not so great.
Porch with the detail lopped off with a chainsaw and wrapped up in some vinyl siding.
Yeah.
And ironically, both needed paint.
Really?
Oh,
you couldn't tell from the photos that you took.
The vinyl one was just dinge on top of filth on top of...
And nothing against vinyl.
No, it's an inappropriate use.
It's just the way you use it.
It's an inappropriate use of the product. I mean, they had it underneath as the ceiling. It was a train wreck.
Well, that's a row of houses. There's like 6-8 of them in a row, too.
Easily.
Yes.
Maybe.
So they all look the same. They're the exact same
and the
facade and everything.
And
it's
the porch,
a nice rhythm on the street.
Right. Exactly. And the porch that was built 80, 100 years ago, we don't know when they were built, are wonderfully detailed, and a word you use a lot, masked properly. So the gable end is exposed.
Mm-hmm.
The girder that holds the porch up is just the right size, and so are the 4x4s they use as purlins, but we're going to have to talk about that and something else that's a secret after this break on My Fix It Up Life. Popular Mechanics provides answers for today's times with informative how-to and how-it-works stories on automotive, science, technology, and, of course, the home. Popular Mechanics provides the instruction and inspiration for the My Fix It Up Life crowd. Check out popularmechanics.com for the latest in science and technology news. their homeowners clinic, online automotive reviews, and the gadget of the week. A great tool for the My Fix It Up Life toolbox is Popular Mechanics. Visit the site or order your subscription today at popularmechanics.com. My Fix It Up Life is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today. You're back inside My Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa on our woodworking show.
Yeah, we're inside the shop today.
We're in the studio. I wish I was in the shop, to be honest with you.
We're talking about being inside the shop.
We are, and woodworking is its own set or subset or whatever you want to call it, skill set. And it's one where sometimes the tools themselves are as beautiful as the work you're making with them.
And I think it has something... Well, I think it has something to do with the woodworker in general because they're so meticulous, you know, tidy. Everything looks beautiful. There's a place for everything. Just like our friend Drew in his shop, everything has a little cubby, a little thing, mm-hmm. a little hook, and it all goes away. It's all just very, mm-hmm. very tidy.
And that's the thing about woodworking. The lines go away.
Yes.
When you book match something. And one of the tools that helps you do that is a tool, it's a hand tool called a flushing chisel, and it's made by Bridge City Tools. Bridge City is Portland, Oregon, and this company makes like low-angle block planes that cost $500.
Oh, my goodness.
So this tool, it has a rosewood handle, and its basic intention is to either cut glue out of the inside of a drawer,
mm-hmm.
or if there's a dowel sticking up, you can kerf the dowel so that when you run your plane over it, there's no tear out.
Mm.
But the reality is it looks somewhere between woodworking tool, engineering tool, surgical tool, and spaceship, and sculpture.
Uh-huh.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Is it as big as a spaceship?
No, it fits in the palm of your hand. But honestly, now that we're on spaceship, I think we have someone on the line who would rather talk about that. Bill, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Mark.
Hey.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
You're talking with... And where are we talking to you from today?
I'm in Maine today. I'm home in Maine, back in my shop after being on the road off and on most of the summer.
Oh.
Now, we should introduce Bill Thomas of mm-hmm. BillThomasWoodworking.com. He's not a website engineer. He is the consummate woodworker and boat builder. And the classes he's talking about are teaching how to build boats at the Wooden Boat School in Maine. So there's woodworking, and then there's what Bill does.
Yeah, extreme woodworking, I guess, is what
yeah.
you would call it.
So, yeah, we just called Bill, or Bill called us, I guess. Somebody called somebody. And what are you working on today, Bill? I don't know what I'm talking about.
Today is not a woodworking project. I'm refurbishing an old trailer to carry my sailboat, which is a whole new skill set for me. I'm having to have parts welded and figure out how to do all that. If all that gets done today, I'm working on a new fur entry door for our house, and I hope to be back out in the shop this afternoon building that.
Oh, wow.
Now, I saw at BillThomasWoodworking.com that you had made some doors that for a client that are on their way to Aruba, or they're already gone.
They're down there and installed. And that I actually started this door... For our house, I started it last winter when I built the doors for Aruba. I think I did a dozen doors. It was a fun job, challenging. There were, in the dozen doors, there were no two that were the same size, and there were three different thicknesses.
Oh, my goodness.
Why?
It's an old house, and the guy just sent me, you know, all these different dimensions. That has, you know, the thickness is what threw me off, because that changes the setup. But I thought... You know, if I'm doing a dozen, I won't even notice that I'm doing 13. So I went ahead and threw the door for our house into the mix as well.
Oh, that's so smart, really.
Oh, that's great. So did you run your, is it a cope and stick setup where you did your shaper?
No, I'm not fond of cope and stick for bigger doors. I don't think there's enough of a tenon. So this was all just mortise and tenon. I did deep grooves for the frames, and then I did a 3-inch deep mortise and a matching tenon for where all the frame members cross.
And did you cut all that on your table saw, shaper, both, all, neither?
A lot of everything. I've for mortise and tenon work, I get everything as close as I can with machines. I've got a horizontal mortiser that I used. I cut the mortises with that. I cut the tenons on the table saw, but they were all shouldered tenons. So I went in and used a chisel and a saw to finish the fit on those, and then rounded them all over.
Oh, no kidding.
So, yeah, that was great. The final day before assembly was probably a day and a half at my workbench with all the parts stacked up, good music on the stereo, and all hand tool work.
Oh, fun.
Nice. And we've seen, Teresa and I have seen it wasn't your original shop, but your first shop when she and I had just met.
Oh, down the Eastern Shore.
Yeah, I was on the Eastern Shore for a couple of years, yeah.
You were doing a tool test for Mark for Tools of the Trade magazine.
Yeah, wow, I did.
What tool was that you guys were testing out?
Actually, I did three for you for them when Mark was with the magazine. I did bandsaws, table saws, and shapers.
I bet it was table saws.
It might have been, and that was unfortunate timing because we finished the table saw test right when I moved my shop from the Eastern Shore of Maryland to Southern Maine, and three of the table saws had not been picked up yet.
Not so small items, bigger than a bread box.
We had to move three full-size cabinet maker saws from there to here just to eventually disperse them and have them shipped out to somebody else. It was just...
You're kidding.
No, that's unfortunate.
It just works out that way sometimes.
And now for everyone listening, he says three of the table saws. You had how many in that shop, Mark?
I remember. Bill did the whole thing.
It had to have been like eight or nine of them.
It was at least seven saws. I mean, I know it took me 2 days just to assemble them.
Yeah, I remember coming down there after they were assembled and you were done being mad at me.
Well, it was an excuse to, because some were metric and some were standard, it was an excuse to buy two really nice nylon tool rolls for my socket wrench sets.
Nice.
That's very cool.
To help me keep organized while I was doing it. So any excuse to buy a new tool or accessory is welcome.
So I have a question for you.
Sure.
And I'm curious, like, what is your go-to tool, like what you would not be able to work, live without?
That's a tough one, but I would say if I had an empty space and was setting up a shop, that's a chicken egg scenario. The first thing I would want would be a really good European style workbench.
Okay.
But since I build my own, I need the tools to build the bench. So, I'm in the process right now, even though retirement's 30, 40, 50 years away, if it ever happens, of thinking about a smaller shop someday.
Hmm.
And, the workbench I have would be the very first thing that goes in that shop.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Unexpected answer.
Yeah, very unexpected.
I was for sure it was going to be table saw or bandsaw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a friend that came over one day when I was working on my, I've got a walk-in basement in the house that we call the Cove, and I've paneled it completely in pine tongue and groove paneling. And he walked over, drove up while I was working on it, and I had my acoustic skill saw out cutting the panels. And he just thought that was the most ridiculous thing he'd ever seen. But there's 16 linear feet of paneling in here, and every cut was made with a handsaw.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Nice.
It's quicker, it's quieter, and it's more precise. And it's pine. How hard can it be to cut?
that's a good point. You don't need to be blasting in everything with a worm drive.
Exactly. I don't rip with a handsaw, and if I had paneled this in a maple, I might have used a different tool. But no, the workbench really lets me use my hand tools. You know, it's sitting next to the same big table saw I've had for 25 years, and I have two bandsaws. There's probably 9 pieces of big stationary equipment in my shop. But
wow.
The first thing I'd want in a new space would be the workbench.
Oh, that's great. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you are the fabricator, designer, and owner of the world's only wooden shower.
I'm not going to say the world's only wooden shower, but I might possibly be able to say the world's only stitch and glue shower.
Stitch and glue.
Stitch and glue shower.
Please tell me what that means.
Well, stitch and glue is a boat building technique where you take plywood,
okay.
Expanded plywood, where you take the shape of the boat and you unwrap it. So you take those pieces and you sew them together, in this case with copper wire.
Really?
And then you use, 18-gauge copper wire, short pieces, and you drill corresponding holes, and you hold the shape together with that. Then you go through with epoxy. I use a MAS epoxy. You do a fillet, which is just a small bead. Picture taking a joint and scooping in a real neat cove of peanut butter, like caulking.
Right.
But when that dries, it's a rock-hard rail, our weld. And then you put a small piece of fiberglass tape with epoxy on top of that, and you have a bomb-proof, waterproof seam. So I build boats like that. When it got time to do the shower in our house, the bathroom is a 6x6 space, and there's only standing headroom for me and about 23 inches of it.
Right.
And then the ceiling slopes down.
Oh, sounds like a cape.
It's the upper floor of a cape, and you know we wanted a full bath in there, and I was really frustrated by the size. And then I realized if I were doing a boat interior and somebody gave me a 6x6 space, I wouldn't know what to do with all the room. So first thing we did was put in a skylight to give me standing headroom. And then the next thing I did was I bought a neo angle fiberglass shower pan.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't want to put up and cut and fit fiberglass shower stall to that angle. So I used mahogany plywood and built a wooden frame, covered it with plywood, epoxied all the pieces, used fiberglass tape and epoxy to waterproof all the corners.
Wow, Bill, you know what? You got to come back, first of all, because this is going to be a 12-hour conversation. Second of all, we have to go.
We have to take a break, but, you know, you can check out more on his website.
BillThomasWoodworking.com, and we'll see you next on My Fix It Up Life.
Do you have an overwhelming home renovation project on your hands? Replace your pry bar and sledgehammer with the new Little Red All-Steel Demolition Tool that delivers maximum power and precision with little effort. Reach into tight corners and speed around sensitive areas while simultaneously removing staples, small and large nails, and screws. Use the Little Red for endless demolition projects, including prying tiles, flooring, trim, drywall, siding, cabinets, panels, roofing, and more. Save time and money. Enjoy a cold drink, not a cold sweat. Visit www.littleredripper.com to solve your demolition puzzle.
Portions of this program brought to you by Codify Design Studio, specializing in graphic design across print, web, and mobile devices. Visit CodifyDesign.com. That's CodifyDesign.com.
And you're inside My Fix It Up Life, and I'm sitting next to my husband, Mark.
And I'm sitting next to my husband, Teresa.
Excuse me?
That is so wrong.
That is wronger
wrong
than wrong.
On every level, but at some point, a technically funny joke.
Not really that funny, actually.
My wife is glorious. I'm lucky, and I married up.
Ooh, Married up.
Without a doubt.
I like that.
Without a doubt.
And I have to ask you, how long is it going to take for you to ask Bill if you can go up there and use that shower he was just talking about?
I already told him when I was talking with him on the phone.
The world's only stitch and glue shower.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Built like a boat interior.
It's amazing.
The guy's incredible. He's actually building a deck this week. And
is it going to be a stitch and glue deck?
I told him, look, Bill, I'm pretty close to paying you to come up and build your deck with you.
Oh, seriously?
And he laughed. Oh, what a good guy. But we should not waste much more time because we have another.
We have a very special guest on the line.
Yes, we do.
Very excited to talk to him.
If you don't, we're not even going to introduce him. If you don't know who Norm Abram is, then I don't know where you've been. Norm, are you there? Are you with us?
Yes, I am, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Teresa.
Welcome to my Fix It Up Life. And how is your life going these days?
My life is going very well. I'm enjoying a fantastic fall weekend up here in New England.
Ooh, all the leaves have changed color, and is it crisp and everything up there?
Yep, it's perfect. I love the fall.
Oh, that's so good.
Now, have the leaves started to turn quite yet?
Well, where I live, it'll be another week or so, but in the western part of Massachusetts and, of course, up in Vermont and New Hampshire and Maine, it's sort of peak right now.
Oh, right on. Right on. Now, do you get any time away from the 800 renovations things you've got going on to see it, or do you remember this from your childhood?
Oh, no. We find time to make time. I mean, that's what it's all about. I think in the last few years, we look at certain times of the year, and in the summer I take 3 weeks off in August, which I've been doing for the last 4 or 5 years, and just kind of kick back and enjoy life.
Sweet.
That is so good.
Sweet. Without prying too much, and of course I'll pry by asking the question, what is enjoying life? Golf, sailing, all of it?
Well, a lot of us on this old house are actually boaters. So I grew up as a lake boater, but I've been ocean boating now for about 10 years. Power,
uh-huh.
Of course.
Richard's
the sailboat, leader.
Uh-huh.
But we're out on the ocean, and the East Coast is great, and it was a whole learning experience that it was just fun. I really enjoy it out there, and Tommy's the same way. It's like our therapy.
That's great.
That is so good.
That is great. Well, a lot of people use the workshop as their therapy, I guess.
That's right.
And do you hear that from people? Do you get to talk to, fans or devotees or of the New Yankee Workshop and your projects on this old house?
Oh, sure. I mean, I run into people all the time. You know, it might be in a more usual place that you would expect a lot of people like that at a trade show or something. But just being in the grocery store, people will come up and say, you know, I love the shows, this old house, the workshop. And they'll show me what they're working on. We went to an event one night. It was at a restaurant, and it was a closed event. And this guy came up to me, and I mean, he had his iPhone, and he's showing me all the photos of his projects that he's working on. And it seems like most of the people that I meet like that, they're just so passionate about their woodworking projects, and they were grateful for the workshop and this old house. And that's all we ever tried to do is make people, you know, inspired to do things, whether it's fixing up their home or building a project in the workshop.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
We're both glowing, Norm. I mean, we like you anyway, but are you acting this awesome, or are you really this awesome?
You're making me blush.
Well, I want to know, because today we're talking about woodworking on our show, and I'm wondering, you know, asking you, who is basically the god of woodworking on TV, you know, what would you give advice for someone who wants to get started?
Well, I think the most common thing that I tell people is, you know, don't start out too big. Don't try to, you know, obviously do a high boy. You know, start with very simple projects that, you know, don't require a high level of skill. You got to work your way up from the beginning. I mean, I started as a kid working with my father, who is a carpenter, mostly building, and then eventually I got into finished carpentry, which is like a step closer to woodworking, and then eventually started building things on my own for some of my customers where it became more custom cabinetry built on site often. And then, of course, when the workshop came along, that was a real opportunity for me because I didn't have enough time to do as much woodworking as I wanted. And once the New Yankee workshop started, that was the best of all worlds for me. So, you know, start small, a shaker table, you know, a coffee table, something simple. Start learning the basic joinery, which has still been, you know, it's around hundreds of years. This joinery still functions really well. And make your way up. And that's what I hear from most people who I run into is that they do start with a simple project and work their way up.
Wow, that's good advice. I mean, it seems to make sense, and it seems like you don't need an ocean of very sophisticated tools to get down the road on that.
Right. In fact, you know, a lot of the projects that were very popular in the workshop program were outdoor projects where, you know, you're not trying to build a fine piece of furniture. You're building an Adirondack chair mm-hmm. or, you know, something for an outdoor table or a picnic table. And those kinds of projects seemed very appealing to people because they felt like they could do them. And it gave them an opportunity to start. And people learn from their mistakes. I learned from my mistakes. So you have to go through that. The one thing I would caution them about, and the mistake a lot of people make, and I guess that this comes somewhat from watching the workshop and the array of tools that we have in there, is one of the most common things people say to me is, well, I could do all that stuff if I had all those tools.
People have said that to me about you before, too, and I tell them they're wrong.
Yeah, they are wrong.
Well, as you probably know, you know, the tools help get the job done, but they don't do them on their own, and you have to develop skills, and you have to be very conscious of safety and, you know, move through these things step by step. And, you know, I think, and some people are saying it tongue-in-cheek, but others are, they're dead serious. It doesn't work that way.
No, I know. And I'm far from being you, so I don't mean to steal your thunder, but people have point
people
blank.
People say that to Mark all the time,
I
too.
Could, no, not about my projects,
no, they
about
do.
Yours.
No, they've said that about
oh,
you,
they have?
Too.
Well, okay. Then,
you know, I could do that job, too, if I had that tool.
Yeah, okay. but, yeah, they've said it to me. You know, if I had all the Norm stuff, I could make a headboard with radius detail. And no, you couldn't. You can't even barely walk across the street. But
so
anyway.
I'm curious, too, like, how do you pick the tools that go in not only your personal shop, but also the New Yankee Workshop shop?
Because
I'm sure you get bombarded with all kinds of different tools that toolmakers want you to check out and use.
Oh, sure we do. And our rule of the road was we use what we like and what we think is good and will help woodworkers with their projects. A lot of it never made it to the show because it just didn't make sense. You know, I'm very much a guy who's not into sort of widgets and gadgets. You know, I'm more of the type of guy who will build a jig out of materials I have in the shop to do something that somebody's probably invented a tool for. Not to say that there are not some good innovations out there, but for the most part, a lot of what we saw and still see today are things that I don't think bring a lot of value to the craft. And you know, I think you got to start with the basics. And again, if you get tempted into always thinking the tool is going to do the job, you're going to find yourself in trouble and frustrated eventually.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And to touch on something you said earlier about the evolution of your skills from carpenter to on-site finish carpenter to then in the cabinet making, then the workshop show came along. It seems like, I guess this is a question, your growth as a woodworker was sort of hand in glove, I guess, with the show itself?
Absolutely. You know, I sort of worked my way up through projects. And what I had to do, which we hope, you know, is what inspires other woodworkers to do, is once you get in it, if you love it, which most people seem to, is you got to challenge yourself. You know, you got to move up to the next level. You got to keep moving up. And then, you know, I guess the ultimate level is that you become a good enough woodworker that you take the things you've learned and you can develop a style of your own. A lot of woodworkers out there, very good woodworkers across the country, you know, you can look at a piece of furniture and you don't even have to have a name on it. You can say that was built by, you know, Thomas Moser, or that was built by Sam Maloof, you know, those kinds of things. You might go there. Not everyone has to go there, but I think it's very important to do, as a woodworker, to do what I was able to do through the workshop is keep challenging myself and every year taking on something that I hadn't done before.
Now, can anyone buy a Norm Abram?
I'm not for sale.
do you have pieces that you sell, or does someone sell for you?
I've never sold a piece. I live with my furniture every day.
That's a testament in itself.
It is.
I live with it. And well, there's another good reason for living with it, and that's to see how well it performs in the long run. You know, some of the New Yankee projects over the years were given to underwriters as part of the process, so we'd put them on display at some of the trade shows.
Ooh.
But by and large, you know, nothing has ever really been sold. I actually did take a piece that I had, and I donated it for an auction not long ago. And I actually built a piece that was a third version of this, of a piece I had built on a show, to also donate to an auction. So there are a few pieces out there. But, you know, I mean, maybe someday I will do that, but I'm not making any promises.
And of course, the template of the show is you find a piece of antique furniture somewhere in Nantucket,
right,
or whatever,
right,
and you copy it.
Right.
Do you have your own designs?
Well, we don't necessarily copy it to absolute perfection. I think what inspires us is the style and the shape and the craftsmanship. You know, to me, the greatest inspirer of my work is the anonymous craftsman. You look at a piece of furniture, you have no idea who built it, but it's really appealing. And I like to build furniture that's utilitarian, that's useful.
It shows, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess designs of my own. Yeah, there's been a few pieces that, you know, have a slight influence from an antique piece that I sort of came up with. There was a step-back cupboard I did a few years ago. A lot of the accessory projects for the workshop itself, mm-hmm, are a lot from my own design.
Okay.
And I'm still, you know, I'm still working on that.
Still learning?
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Now this old house, you guys are going to California for the next season, correct?
Well, we have two projects going. Uh-huh. We just premiered this week on PBS, mm-hmm, with a new season of This Old House. And the first project is actually in New England.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Auburndale, Mass., which is one of the areas of the city of Newton, or the town of Newton. And it's an interesting project because it was built in the 40s. We had the original plans, and we thought that things had been done to this house that altered it in a way that didn't seem quite appealing. And it turns out it was always that way. And it's a 1940s two-story hip roof. But it had this two-car garage that was close to the street with a flat roof. You could barely find the front door. It was sort of the dog on the street in a community of pretty impressive homes, you know, sort of period-style homes. And the homeowners loved it because of the area, and they have young children, and it's very much a neighborhood. And they hired an architect to see if she could do something to spruce it up, make it more, have more street appeal, but more importantly, it views onto the Charles River, which is a beautiful place where people kayak and canoe, and, you know, it's just a nice recreational area. But no one was taking advantage of the views. I don't know why these houses were built with hardly any windows to look at these great views. So we're about two-thirds of the way through that project, and you'll start seeing that this week on your local PBS stations. And then when we wrap that up, we've already started our L.A. project. We're doing two at the same time right now. And L.A. is it's our first project in L.A. County, even though we've done others in California.
How's your jet lag?
Well, you know, I've done that routine a few times. And I guess the only thing I would say is that I handle it pretty well, but I think I've got over the idea of doing red-eye flights. You know what those are like.
Yeah.
And this house is, the California house is, it's in a beautiful area. It's called Silver Lake, and it's where the old movie studios used to be. It has the most historic houses of anywhere in L.A., and it's a Spanish colonial revival built in the 30s, very small, only 1,500 square feet. Again, a young, growing family. And the house, Kevin and I fell in love with the house as soon as we saw it. It was like, we've got to do this project. And if you go on this old house website, you can look at the webcams, and it looks like half the house is gone, which a lot of it had to be removed for the expansion. We're going to go up with a second floor. There's a slight increase in the footprint, but they're only adding about 700 square feet, so it's modest by a lot of standards.
Sure.
And has a fantastic backyard, great couple, fantastic contractor that we're working with. So we'll deal with all the seismic requirements and fire code because they're in that fire zone and so forth. So I hope people turn in because I think both projects are going to be really exciting this year.
Well, we will definitely tune in, as we always do,
without
at our house,
doubt.
Definitely.
Without a doubt. You remain the best, the first, the classiest act. We really, really appreciate you taking time to visit with us, Norm.
Well, it was my pleasure.
Thank you so much. And unfortunately, we have to take a break.
Yeah, unfortunately, we can't talk with Norm for five more hours because that's what we want to do. Oh, what a great guy. Check out This Old House, and we'll be back next with more My Fix It Up Life.
Looking for a no-hassles roof for your home? DaVinci Roofscapes offers affordable slate and shake roofing tiles that add long-term beauty to your home. The synthetic DaVinci tiles resist mold, algae, fungus, and insects. Backed by a 50-year warranty, DaVinci roofs are fire-resistant and made to withstand severe weather like high winds and hail. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen DaVinci slate and shake tiles to not only protect but enhance beauty of their home. Learn about award-winning DaVinci products at DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624.
Portions of My Fix It Up Life are brought to you by FixMyHog.com, the number one DVD source for do-it-yourself Harley-Davidson maintenance and performance.
What a perfect day to play left right there.
You're inside My Fix It Up Life.
And yeah, you're still inside it. We're all inside it.
We all are inside
Welcome
it.
To
Welcome
our family.
Welcome inside My Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa and our kids, too.
Yeah, two-year-old mm-hmm. Jack, nine-year-old Lexi.
Yeah, celebrating the two-year-old's birthday today.
We're bashing big time
We're
after
bashing.
This.
Yeah, and Mark bought Jack's pumpkin ale beer.
Yeah, right? Jack's pumpkin ale, which, JT, mm-hmm. hopefully you'll have one of later. But please drive safely.
Well, I wanted to share with you, you know, there's a new show coming out called Downsized on WeTV, and it sounds a lot like our house, except for their house. Well, their situation seems a little bit more extreme.
This is news to me. I don't know anything about it.
And they're probably going to be coming on our show in a few weeks, too. And it's the families, the Bruces. It's what they're touting as the modern-day Brady Bunch, who lived the American dream until the economy went belly up. And they go through all the different challenging situations that they have as a family to figure out what they're going to do.
Okay.
You know, they have seven children under one roof.
Okay.
And they bought the house, and then they were broke, and they ended up having two houses in foreclosure, and their contracting business was going under.
Oh, they're contractors.
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
So all the stuff that they do, like dumpster diving and stuff, to try to, like, find ways of selling off their possessions and everything like that.
Wildly dramatic, and...
We don't quite do that. We do contracting.
You know what? If they're a never say die family, I want to talk to them.
Yeah. So,
last man standing, however you want to put it.
So the publicist for WeTV said that we're having them on the show in a few weeks.
Right on.
So
and
very cool.
Good luck between now and then. You sound like hardworking people.
And speaking of hard work, we're going to give away the Stiletto 12 ounce titanium hammer.
Nice.
I know.
Lightweight, hits heavy.
It does hit heavy.
It does. You can just devastate nails with this thing. And one of the things I like about it the best, though, is the claw.
Yes.
The rip claw is straight enough so that you can get in behind stuff. Because let's face it, we don't drive a lot of nails these days. We use hammers to rip stuff apart.
Yes.
And it's great. And it weighs 12 ounces, but it's bone crushing.
It is.
Who wins?
Well, Mike Thomas from Danville, Kentucky. He won because of this email that he wrote to info@myfixituplife.com.
So he didn't call us and email it?
He didn't call the email in.
Okay.
He didn't tweet
okay.
to Facebook that he emailed that he called it in and
you know
sent
what?
Me by carrier pigeon. What are you talking
about? I
can't
even tie my own shoes anymore. There's so
I'd
many different
love
ways
to win the stiletto hammer because I'm at a crossroads, she interrupts her husband. My current job is ending at the
here.
End of October, and yet I don't have a follow-up job. At 48, I have the usual aches and pains, including part-time arthritis flare-ups. The hammer sounds like the perfect solution for someone who could do repairs and construction on the side. I think I could do handyman repairs more easily if I had a better hammer, and your product sounds like the solution for me. Mike Thomas from Danville, Kentucky. Congratulations.
And can I actually say something here that has merit?
Ooh, it has merit?
Yes.
Ooh, I like that. How unusual.
The provenance, if you will, the pedigree of stiletto tools.
Yes.
The guy who started the company.
He wears stiletto shoes?
No, he's a contractor who contracted tendonitis in his elbow.
Oh.
From wailing a steel hammer all day. The vibration ran up his forearm and into his elbow, demoed his elbow. So he became passionate about a low-vibration, high-impact, lightweight solution. That's how he found titanium. He designed the whole thing around what
this guy's talking about,
what
Mike Thomas
from Danville, Kentucky is talking about.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
And you know what? Nation, as
yes.
it were. Teresa didn't make that up. It's not like a planted thing. I didn't have nothing to do with this, and she didn't know that about Stiletto till right now.
No, we have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
We don't even talk to each other either. That's
the
thing.
We really don't.
But when the gears mesh, the poetry happens, we all start speaking in iambic pentameter. You know that's love.
So we're giving away the Select Step ladder next week, the Little Giant Select Step ladder. And we have a different kind of contest going on for that right now. You can enter to win on our website or on our Facebook.
MyFixItUpLife.com.
And we're having you vote for the winner this time. We're not going to pick the winner. You get to vote for yourself. And the contest ends next Friday. So you can go online, enter to win. You have to write down what your reason is and then invite your friends to vote for you. Whoever has the most votes wins.
Yeah. And this ladder,
it's awesome.
Awesome.
It's a $200 ladder. It's
yeah.
like,
and it's worth about $7,000.
It's a heavy-duty rated Type 1A 300-pounds ladder.
Yes, and the My Fix It Up Life electricians, Ambler Electric, were using it and using the air deck on it to install a ceiling fan at My Fix It Up Life HQ and raving.
I was using the air deck to paint the house this past summer, too.
You did use the air deck to paint
totally
the house.
Totally did.
I used it hanging crown molding.
Well, what's awesome, too, about the ladder is that if you're working in a tight spot, you can
You can pivot the...
I'm moving my arms around to show Mark what I'm talking about.
It's radio. Well, picture, you know, a regular A-frame.
Uh-huh.
If you need to tuck the ladder up to something like a wall, say you're doing a drywall repair or installing a light fixture, you can raise one side or lower the other side such that you have an obtuse triangle, an acute triangle. Basically, you can butt the ladder straight up to the wall.
Yes.
You know, and the way you'll see that on a commercial, the infomercial, which is running now, I understand.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is they'll put the front legs of the ladder on, like, two stairs.
So they can go vertical, and then the other legs of the ladder are not vertical.
Right. They're so anyway, I used that in a drywall repair recently. So it works.
It's really good.
And it's a 5, 6, 7 and 8 foot step ladder.
All in one.
And trust me, I've used a 6 foot step ladder as an 8 foot step ladder. It's just not a good idea.
Yes.
This has it all in one.
So go online and enter to win, or just like read all the entries that we're receiving and vote for whoever your favorite is.
Yeah,
so
blast out a vote. Now, we
now,
do a show next week too, don't we?
We have a show next week.
They're every week.
And we're
going to
be talking with Steve Thomas, the host of Renovation Nation, and he was also the host of This Old House for 14 years as well.
Oh, right on.
Totally cool, right?
Very excited to talk to Steve.
And we're going to be talking about everything green with him. He's very passionate about it, and I'm curious to know what his tips are and what his, you know, what his thing is right now that, you know, he's
what's the hot button
he's
issue
he's crazy about. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or what's happening or where he appears, because he gives lectures and speeches and appearances at various green building conferences all over the place.
Yes.
Oh, that is very cool. And he is also an accomplished sailor.
Everyone's a sailor.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that true? Like,
it really is true.
To be a part of this old house, you have to be a sailor?
He's one. He wrote a book, and he is one of the few people on the planet who, I'm pretty sure I have this right, who understands how to navigate the ocean, open ocean, the way the ancient Polynesians did. The ancient Polynesians didn't just stumble into Hawaii. They were going somewhere, and they can follow the stars, and there's an ancient tradition about how to do that, and it's real science and all the rest of it, because they could go back and forth between Polynesia and Hawaii.
Well, I have a feeling that Mark is going to navigate us to green and blue next week, because he's going to want to talk about the ocean with Steve as well. So don't forget to go online at myfixituplife.com. Check out the cool prizes that are up for grabs on free stuff.
Do it.
And email us at info@myfixituplife.com or post a message on Facebook about what you want to win.
Like Reneal and his friend Oscar Bravo did with their pergola.
Showing off your projects, giving us advice on what we're doing, too, in our projects. We love to hear from you.
We do.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Don't do it.
What
or
do it. And I'm losing my husband.
I think so. Should we just say we'll see you next time on My Fix It Up Life?
I guess we can, dear.
Then let's say it.
We'll see you next time on my Fix It Up Life.
Popular Mechanics provides answers for today's times with informative how-to and how-it-works stories on automotive, science, technology, and, of course, the home. Popular Mechanics provides the instruction and inspiration for the My Fix It Up Life crowd. Check out popularmechanics.com for the latest in science and technology news, their homeowners clinic, online automotive reviews, and the gadget of the week. A great tool for the My Fix It Up Life toolbox is Popular Mechanics. Visit the site or order your subscription today at popularmechanics.com.